Amen. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I want to welcome everyone this morning and just glad that you've chosen to worship here. Amen. Chosen to worship with us. And I believe God has you here for a reason. And it's my prayer that you experience Him today in a fresh and new way. The past couple weeks, I've been sharing a sermon series called Love Reigns. We began on Easter Sunday when we looked at the fact that though Jesus was mocked and challenged to prove He was the King of the Jews and the Son of God while He was on the cross, the clearest proof of His sovereignty and authority was not in avoiding the cross, but in defeating the cross and His resurrection from the dead. It proved, it validated who He said He was. Amen. And who He said He is. Last week we were encouraged to know, and we found out, we looked at, that when we become united with Christ through faith in Him, we become a new creation, a new creature altogether. Our past no longer defines us. Praise the Lord for that. As we have seen, it is the love of God that caused Jesus to endure the cross. It is the love of God that forgives us of our past. Love reigns over our past. Today we're going to continue on in this series by taking a look how love reigns over our present. Because of God's great mercy, we can live lives that honor Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Romans 12, 1 and 2, hopefully you're there. The King James Version reads, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul starts chapter 12 here by saying something that many times we skim right over, especially if we've read it many times. But he's letting us know that every instruction he's about to give us must be seen through a specific lens. We have to view it in a certain way. In order to fully grasp this new way of living in the present, we have to see life in a certain way. He wants us to reorient our lives. He wants us to refocus to see our present situation. And he says here, by the mercies of God. The NIV says, in view of God's mercies. The Phillips translation says, with eyes wide open to the mercies of God. We need to understand that to view things, what he's going to tell us to do, it's only because the love of God, the mercies of God, that we can do what he's telling us that we need to do. Amen? Hallelujah. The Phillips translation goes on to read, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to him and acceptable by him. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves toward the goal of true maturity. That's the lens that we need to look through our present life, is God's mercy. Amen. Only one thing could change your life, and that was the love of God. Amen. Amen? And it can still change your life today. You know, we try to be in control and do things that please ourselves and please others. Paul invites us to see things differently. God has been so merciful to you and to me. He sent His Son, His one and only Son, to die on the cross because of that mercy. He's offered us a fresh start because of that mercy. He loves us unconditionally because of that mercy. That alone can change our present by helping us to move our focus from what we want to have done for us to the things that God has already done for us. Amen? He's already done a great deal for us. God's great mercy became a transforming reality through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This mercy is a result of God's love for us. And the love that God has for us invites us to live differently in the present. Doesn't matter how you lived yesterday, how you lived in the past, today's a new day. God's mercies are new every day, it says in Lamentations 3:22. You can't use them all up. You can't exhaust God's supply of mercy. It's new every day. We just don't want to stay there and live in the past. God's mercy has given me the chance to die to myself and to come alive in Jesus Christ. We are to be living sacrifices that no longer conform to the patterns of the world. The world around us is deceptive. Anybody ever realized that? That it's selfish. That it's angry. I mean, we see anger everywhere. It's foolish. These cannot be the patterns we live by today. We must renew the way we think, and in doing so, we will discover God's will for us in the present. How many of you have discovered it's not always easy to live for God? Amen? It's not always easy to get past the past. But God, through His love and through His mercy, has given us a way that we can change that way. Amen? The decisions that I make today are going to determine who I'm going to be tomorrow. As we live day by day, we make thousands of decisions. We're constantly having to weigh out options and choose what we think is best. Sometimes our decisions are influenced by things that we're told to do. We can find ourselves being obedient to the voices around us, and a lot of times they may not have our best interest in mind. You can always rely on the fact that whatever God tells you to do, either through His Word or through the Holy Spirit, an unction from the Holy One, that He always has your best interest at heart. Amen? God's love gives us an option of not having to listen to those voices outside of us, but that we listen to His voice so that we can make the best possible decisions for our lives. Amen? How many of you remember when we were kids, the game Simon Says? Amen? You know, it goes when it was somebody's it was their turn to speak, they would give an instruction and they would say, Simon Says, lift your hand. Amen. Simon Says, put your hand down. Simon Says, blink your eyes. Simon Says, stop blinking your eyes. Amen. Simon Says, to stomp your feet. Amen. It was always a test of your willingness to continue to listen to instructions, to pay attention and to follow them. And if you got tired of listening or decided to ignore it, you would lose. Well, it's kind of the same way with the Word of God. God says, do this. God says, don't be angry. God says, to love one another. God says to do this. God says to do that. God never says to stop doing those things. Amen? We make a choice to stop following it. And when we do that, guess what? We're going to lose. Amen? The things we choose to do or not to do show who we are listening to. If we're playing that game, Simon says, and he doesn't say it, or she doesn't say it, and we do it, we lose. We stop paying attention. Amen? Our lives are made up by the decisions we make. Sometimes they can be painful because of the decisions we made. Our past is a collection of wise or unwise choices that we made along the way. We talked about that last week in great detail. But if we look back at those decisions, we can see who was in charge when we made that decision. Was it us or was it God? Amen? Were those decisions every part of being obedient to what God says? Or how many of those choices are a result of our obedience to our sinful desires or the voice of the world telling us what we should do? The Apostle Paul said a lot of things about living our lives under the influence of God rather than the influence of the world. Amen? In the book of Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians that you kids have been looking at, he tells us a lot about our conduct and how we should think and how we should do things. God focuses on these things that we need to do. Amen? As followers of Jesus Christ and people who have responded to the love of God, that love needs to not only reign over our past, but it needs to reign over our present today. See, you can make a choice to walk in love yesterday and not walk in love today. Right? You can make a choice to put the flesh under yesterday, but not put the flesh under today. Right? I mean, it's a daily choice that we make. It's the present. When we turn our attention to the mercy of God, then we are compelled to live our lives as living sacrifices that are holy and pleasing to God. When Paul was writing about these things, about talking about sacrifice, his audience had a lot more clear realization what he was talking about than what we do. They were familiar with animals being sacrificed, whether it be lambs or pigeons or doves or whatever it may be, that they were sacrificed and their blood was spilled out in order to pay the penalty for sins. So when he's talking about a living sacrifice, they knew what he was talking about. But a living sacrifice is different than a dead sacrifice, right? One that was killed and the blood was offered up, it involved the death of that sacrifice. That's why Jesus' death was considered the ultimate sacrifice for all humanity. Look at Psalm 51. Psalm 51. We are a living sacrifice. So what kind of a sacrifice can we make? See, the difference between a dead sacrifice and a living sacrifice is a dead sacrifice has to remain on the altar. A living sacrifice can choose to crawl off the altar. Amen? You make a choice whether you're going to make a sacrifice to live for God or not live for God. So what kind of a sacrifice is he talking about? Psalm 51, 16 and 17 says, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. The sacrifice, a living sacrifice, is all about your heart condition. Amen? It's the heart behind the sacrifice. The idea of these two words here used for broken and contrite are the Hebrew words shabar and dekah. They talk about humility, talk about submission, about shaping and surrender. It's an object which is broken or has been broken, has succumbed to the power of a greater force. You allow the love of God to reign in your life, and you allow yourself that heart that's been hardened and that heart that doesn't want to do the things of God. It's broken to be used by God and to be formed by God and to submit to God. Amen? It's kind of like that blacksmith that takes that piece of metal that he heats it up in the fire. Nothing's changed until he starts using the hammer on it. And he begins to bend it and to shape it like he wants. That's the picture that it paints here of our heart. Sometimes, you know, God gives us a new heart. It says he promises that. But we've got to allow that heart to begin to mold and to shape our character. Amen? To begin to mold and shape what we want to do. A broken and contrite heart is one that's yielded to the will and the power of God in its life. The spirit of humility, openness, and teachableness. They say, I repent, God, here I am. Do with me what you will. Use me to do what you want me to do. Mold me and make me. Amen? Lead me. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to trust you. That's the sacrifice and offering that God wants from us as a living sacrifice. That we choose willingly and humbly to follow after what he wants us to do. To live how we want to live, not how the world wants us to live. He wants us to offer a heart that is surrendered and yielded to him. Look at Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57, verse 15. The Amplified Version reads, For thus says the high and lofty one, he who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, but with him also who is of a thoroughly penitent and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the thoroughly penitent, bruised with sorrow for sin. The true sacrifice of a follower of Jesus is a contrite heart and an obedient spirit. That's what God's looking for. Jesus already paid the penalty for your sins. Amen. He already sacrificed himself. He already shed his blood. Paul tells us to be living sacrifices. Amen. We can't just say one day we're going to sacrifice ourselves and the next day we crawl off the altar. Amen. I don't want to do that. That's too hard. I feel like giving into the flesh today. Amen. We've all done it. Praise the Lord. We have to live a life right now in the present under the rule and the reign of love. We do it because God loved us and we love him. That's allowing the love of God to reign in our life today. Amen. Not in the past, not in the future, but today we've got to allow the love of God to reign in our heart. Allow us to make that sacrifice of a humble heart, a penitent heart. Say, Lord, forgive me for not following your voice. Forgive me for not doing what you've called me to do. I'm going to do it today. Amen? J.C. Philpott said this, If a man lacks a broken heart, he lacks the main evidence of being a partaker of grace. For the leadings, teachings, and dealings of God all tend to this. They all tend to break a man's heart. If the Lord deals with him in conviction, it breaks his heart, breaks up the hard, impenetrable soil he formerly possessed. If the Lord manifests mercy, kindness, love, tender favor, it breaks the heart, for it softens it, it melts it, and it humbles it. That is one mark then of a good heart, to be broken and be contrite. Hallelujah. Psalm 119:2 says, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart." Psalm 119:10 says, "For with my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." Hallelujah. My whole heart. A whole heart is an undivided heart. You're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. An undivided heart is a heart settled on one thing. God doesn't just want a small piece of you here and there. He wants all of you. He wants to hold first place in your life. He wants to be present in every area of your life and have the preeminence. He wants to reign in your life. Not as a taskmaster, but he wants to reign in your life through love. He loved you enough to go to the cross for you and to sacrifice himself for you, to shed his blood for you. He wants you to love him enough to say, "Okay, Lord, I just surrender to you. I'm going to put away my selfish ambitions." Amen? It takes action on our part. It's not just going to happen. Amen? Get born again. Praise God. You're a new creature in Christ, but you're still a baby. You're an infant. You don't know anything. You got to have somebody feed you. You got to have somebody burp you. Got to have somebody clean your messes up for you sometimes. Amen? But there comes a point in time when God wants you to grow. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians, about growing. Amen? Grow. And that's part of that growth, is making yourself a living sacrifice, presenting your bodies. Why does he say your bodies? Because it's your body that's going to fight you most of the time. Amen? Hallelujah. It's the least thing. One translation says that. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, because it's the least that I can do. It's the least that you can do. Amen? It's the least I can do, considering all that he, through his mercy and his love and his grace, have done for me. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Everybody doing okay this morning? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We have to make a decision. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 2 says, "For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." The Amplified Version says, "For I resolved to know nothing, to be acquainted with nothing, to make a display of the knowledge of nothing, to be conscious of nothing among you except Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and him crucified." We need to have a singular focus about Jesus. Amen? About everything is about Jesus. Focused on Jesus. Focused on the love that he has for us. Go back to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. He says, "Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. The New American Standard reads. But then he goes on in verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Hallelujah. Don't be conformed to this world's system. Amen. The word conformed there is the word schematizo in the Greek. It means to conform oneself, one's mind and character to another's pattern. Don't be conformed to the patterns of the world. The pattern of the world says you got to do things this way. Paul says you've got to renew your mind. Amen? You've got to change. You've got, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be, let them fashion you into how you act and what you do and what you say. The world around us has many patterns, and the vast majority of them lead you away from God.
Yes.
Lead people to follow the world, what the world declares as normal and acceptable. Have you noticed the pattern in every TV show?
Yes.
Amen. I don't even have to say it. You're all saying, yeah, I've noticed it. Why? Because the world wants you to think that it's okay, that that's just a pattern, that it's normal. The Word of God says it's not.
Amen.
Amen? Word of God says it's not. Are we to love them people? Yes. Are we to say that what they're doing is okay? Absolutely not. That's being conformed to the world.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
God has something better for you. God has something better for them. Amen?
Amen?
I mean, we've seen it. I don't even remember what all it says. I'm not being rude. I'm just, right? Then they went right past, they sped right past that to the transgender thing. Amen?
Yep.
The pattern of the world will tell you that it's okay because you see it on the news. You see it everywhere. Amen? Because they want to just tell you this and tell you that, that it's acceptable and that it's the right way to do and it's normal. Everybody,
right.
No, it's not.
Right.
It's not. Talk to people that have come out of that lifestyle and they'll tell you that it's not.
That's right.
Amen? Oh, Pastor Will, that's just you're being intolerant. No, I'm not. Just telling you the truth. Whether you accept it or not, that's up to you.
Right. Amen.
Amen? There is no your truth.
That's right.
There's only one truth.
Amen.
And that's written right here.
Yes.
And if you say, well, that's intolerant, well, I guess I'm intolerant then. Sorry. I'm not going to stand before God someday and say, why didn't you tell them?
That's right.
Amen? Because you're going to stand right before the same man that I am. The pattern of the world will tell you that things are okay. It's okay to be ruthless in business. It's okay to do drugs. It's okay to smoke a little weed. It doesn't bother you. It's okay to do that. No, they're addicting. Amen?
Amen.
Doesn't have to just be those things. It can be anything. It can be food that you like. Amen? It's okay to have ho-hos and ding-dongs for breakfast every morning. No, it's not. Your body will revolt after a while. Your pants won't fit. Your shirts won't fit. Your socks won't fit. Right? It doesn't just have to be those things. It can be anything. That the world will tell you, it's okay, it's okay. Amen. We got to find out what's okay. If the Lord checks you and says, you shouldn't be eating that, don't eat it. That's what the Word says. Amen. If He tells you not to partake of that, don't do it. Yeah, or don't watch that show. You turn on the TV and all of a sudden something inside you wells up and says, you shouldn't be watching that. Turn it off. Amen. You're opening up a gateway to all kinds of things. Well, it's just a harmless TV show. No, it plants thoughts in you. Fear can attach itself to you. Amen? Right through a TV show.
Yes. It's true.
I've seen it happen.
Yep. Yep.
And then you've got to spend days getting that junk off of you.
Yes.
When the Holy Spirit told you, hey, don't watch that. You said, well, he's trying. There's nothing wrong with that. You'll be fine. I'll be fine. And then you spend days rebuking that thing and getting that spirit of fear off of you because you open yourself up to it to come in. I've seen it happen to people.
Amen.
Going to meetings, having hands laid on them, goofy stuff attached to them. Got to have somebody cast it out of them, cast it off of them, break its power. Oh, that possible? Yes. You've got to guard yourself.
Yes.
Amen. Doesn't just happen in the world. It can happen in the church.
It's true.
False doctrine. Paul warned us about that everywhere.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yes,
test the spirits. I don't know where all that came from. That wasn't even in my notes, but... History has shown all too often that the patterns that the world leads you down only lead to broken lives,
destruction,
broken families, broken relationships. The patterns of greed, selfishness, lust, pride, envy, anger, and gossip are patterns that are the norm to the world. These patterns are easy to fall into and can be difficult to transform. The worldview says these are the ways you get ahead in life. These are natural. That's just the way people are wired. Well, they're going to have a short circuit someday because they're wired wrong. Amen. If you don't behave in this manner, you're going to get taken advantage of. And all these things to an ever-increasing segment of society, all these patterns of behavior are okay. It's okay if you want to live your life that way. Who are you to judge me? The Word of God says you've already been judged. The Word of God says the prince of this world has already been judged. And the world system that the world is operating under has been judged. Amen? We need to change. We choose to follow patterns because we believe it's going to lead us to happiness and contentment. Which pattern are we following? The world's pattern or God's pattern? Amen? Some patterns are intentional, and some of them we just do mindlessly. The word transformed. He says, don't be conformed to this world, the pattern of this world. He says to be transformed. It's the Greek word metamorphoso, where we get metamorphosis, where, you know, the caterpillar turns into a butterfly. It's a complete change. A marked change of character and conduct. It's always internal, but it will be viewed externally. people will see the difference. Amen? It's a deep interchange that shows up being visible on the outside. You got to be transformed. You change. You get changed into another form. Undergo a complete change under the power of God. And it's used here, this word transformed is in the continuous present sense. We're talking about present. Talking about today. Be transformed today. Amen. Just because you read the word and were transformed and had your stinking thinking changed a few months ago doesn't mean that stinking thinking is not going to come back today or tomorrow. Amen. You've got to get rid of it. You've got to be present today, transforming your mind. You have to remember this word's only used four times in the New Testament. Look at 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." It's the same word here, metamorphoso. Beholding, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. The more you recognize who God is, the more you think about who God is, the more that you see the glory of God, the more you experience the things of God, you're going to be changed into His image. You have to start with thinking the right thoughts, thinking correctly. Amen? Having your mind renewed to the Word of God. Having your mind metamorphosed. Amen? What used to be a caterpillar now becomes a butterfly. Amen? You change the way you think. Amen? You don't react the same way that you used to react. You don't speak the same things the way you used to speak. Amen? Amen? The changing process is God's work. It's not just willpower. It's grace and it's mercy. It's God's Word. It's God, the Holy Spirit, and it's God's presence that are the agents of change. The more you get into the Word, the more you're going to be able to hear the voice of the Spirit. Amen? There's times that you need to fast. I'm just going to say this. There's times that you need to fast to listen to the voice of God. And the more that you do it, the clearer the voice of God. Because your flesh is constantly talking to you. Ooh, I'm hungry. What am I going to have for lunch? What are we going to have for dinner? When am I going to do this? And you deny the flesh and you put the flesh under. Amen. That's the way you can crucify your flesh. Amen. Seek after God. Pray about it. Don't just do it because Pastor Will said you need to. I'm telling you, it will help you. Amen? Do I like to fast? No. Do I look like I like to fast? No. But we do it. Amen? Why? So you can hear the voice of God. Be sensitive to the Spirit. Instead of eating, you spend time praying and reading the Word. Feeding your spirit, man. Amen? So just try it. Change. The Spirit of God and the Word of God are the vehicle through which change comes. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, the Amplified Version says, "Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for His good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. It's God who is working in you. You get born again, you become a new creature in Christ. You become the temple of the Holy Spirit. You've got the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. He wants to make that thing into a holy temple, acceptable to God. Amen? Changing you. Praise the Lord. Paul tells us to see life in view of God's mercy. When we understand God's love and mercy for us, we find the reason to transform our lives and renew our minds. Amen? You've got to change the way you think. You have to see yourself how God sees you. You have to see things through the perspective of the Word. Amen? Who you are in Christ. That you've been redeemed from the curse. Amen? Whatever somebody may have spoken, some people have some really strange ideas whether they've been cursed because somebody cursed them, or from the family they come from, that their family's cursed. The Word of God says that you're redeemed from the curse of the law. That you've been set free. Amen? That you're not of that kingdom anymore. You're not of that family anymore. You've got a new family. You're in the family of God. Amen? You're a child of the living God. And God wants to change you. And God wants to restore everything that's been stolen from you. Amen? God wants to move in your life. But you can't do that if you still keep thinking the same way. Well, I could never do that. Everything in my life I've ever touched has always failed. Quit saying that. You are a more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Not because you feel like it, but because the Word says so. Amen? Well, I don't feel like I've been redeemed. Doesn't matter what you feel like. I don't feel like I'm healed. Doesn't matter what you feel like. The Word of God says that you are healed. Amen?
Yes.
You've got to get it down inside of you today, not what you did yesterday. How many of you know the devil doesn't leave you alone?
Yes.
Amen? Just because you overcame him last week and you had a battle and you won a victory doesn't mean that he's not going to be waiting there tomorrow morning for you when you open your eyes and say, guess what I got for you today? And you can say, well, guess what I got for you? Amen? Start pounding him with the Word. Speak the Word. Don't let negativity come out of your mouth. Don't let doubt come out of your mouth. Speak life. You just can't do that just because somebody tells you to do that. Just because Pastor Will says, or Brother Jim or Clint or somebody teaching class, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You've got to watch what you say. You've got to renew your mind that's a reality.
Amen.
You've got to renew your mind that what I say matters. And I need to start speaking life over that situation. Amen? Start speaking life over my finances. Start speaking life over my health, over my relationships, over my marriage. Whatever it is, you start speaking life. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Amen. Speak life into that situation. You've got to renew. Why? How can you do that? Because God loves you. We sang about it.
Yes.
He loves you. He loves me. You can do anything. Amen.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Why? Because love needs to reign in your life. It needs to reign over your present today. Well, you don't deserve anything from God. You don't deserve your salvation. You don't deserve anything. It's all because God loves you and He wants to give it to you.
Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The ultimate outcome of a sacrificial life and a renewed mind is discover and to follow the will of God for your life. Amen. What if you were to trade in the time and energy that you used to spend on those old patterns in your life and created new patterns with better outcomes? Under the reign of love and mercy in your life, spend time in prayer, read scriptures, serve other people, listen to the voice of God. God promises to lead us and to guide us and direct us when we submit to Him. Amen. The book of Proverbs, and we'll close with this scripture. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in your heart. Amen. Or trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Don't lean to your own understanding. Don't lean into the patterns of the world. Amen. You've got to know God's will for your life. You've got to know the Word. Renew your mind. Amen. You renew it to the Word of God. When we trust in the Lord and question our own understanding, we will begin to see straight paths that God has laid before us. This trust is that the author speaks of here in the book of Proverbs, is that the love of God is always seeking what's best for us. And we can rely upon that. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for the love that you have for us. And Father, it's my prayer that each and every one of us would just reflect upon the love that you have for us and allow that love to reign over our present circumstances, Lord. That we change our thinking, that we're transformed each and every day in the present, Lord, to know what is your perfect and acceptable will for our lives. That our minds are renewed and that they're changed so that we're not living as the world lives. We're not following the world's patterns, Lord, but we're following your patterns. The patterns we see in your word. Lord, we thank you for that, praise you for that, and give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.